Welcome to Sava FC, your hosts, Antonio Scarano and Anthony Valenti.
Sava FC community, what is going on? Welcome to another episode. As always, it's Antonio and I'm here with Anthony.
What's going on, everyone?
So, some big news for today's episode. It's our 15th episode with Sava, and we finally created a YouTube account.
That's right.
To start posting our podcasts, and then any videos we end up taking along the way are finally going to go out there. And in order to celebrate that happening, we invited a very special guest.
Mr. Rogers?
No.
Oh. So this special guest, he's known by many different names to many different people. He's known as Coach Frankie. He's known as Cheech. I know him as Wanda Icardi's boyfriend because Icardi imitates him every day. Frankie Scarano, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Sava? Pleasure to be here. Not going to lie, if there you had an opportunity to grab Mr. Rogers and you grab me, then I definitely feel special. So thank you for that.
Oh, we'll take you over Mr. Rogers. I mean, he knows a single thing about soccer.
Aaron Rodgers just lost to the Vikings, so he wasn't coming on. Well, that's the Mr. Rogers you were talking about, right?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about John Rogers from down the street.
Oh, man. So what's going on, Frank?
Nothing. Another normal day today. I was excited when you guys called me, told me to come on down. So, definitely excited to be here.
So why don't you give the people a little bit of your background on soccer, how you're involved with it, and everything else?
All right. Well, I'm just like any normal Italian, born and raised on soccer. You know, grew up with the whole watching Italy. Started playing at 9 years old, a little bit of a late bloomer, but jumped in at nine.
And I wouldn't say a late bloomer. Remind me to tell a story to the people after you're done with your intro.
Okay, we'll do. So I started watching probably around 5 or 6. Big Napoli fan, big Italy fan. Then I played from 9 through high school and 2 years of college club level. I was playing for Sacred Heart University Club. So D1 club, pretty a lot of the D1 players would come down and play if they couldn't, maintain with their schedule. So it was definitely competitive. So that was fun. And then on the coaching side, I started coaching at 13 with U8 for community service. But, I'm 25 now, so I've been coaching 12 years, which is crazy to think about. And, now I coach everything from the 3 and 4 year olds up to the high school level.
And I got to say, all the feedback I get from all the different parents in town, the kids love you. They all love you.
See, I get different feedback.
Is that right?
All the moms talk about how hot he is.
Oh, that's that too. That too.
I mean, that's just what I get from everybody. But hey, teach their own.
I had a few of the parents from the toddler group ask if I was also a babysitter on the side. So they were asking me, if I'd be able to babysit their kids like on the weekends. But they were like, but we're not going to go out. We're going to stay home. I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So only you, man.
Growing up, watching soccer, because I think you're too young, you didn't get a chance to see Maradona play at all, other than watching recordings or YouTube clips.
Maradona and Prime, just recordings and clips. I watched him play in that, I forget that game they do in Italy where it's all the famous actors. Yeah.
Oh, La Partita del Cuore.
Yeah, La Partita del Cuore.
Have you ever watched that?
I've never watched that, but I did get to watch Maradona in his prime because I'm that old.
Well, I'm a little jealous of that, but yeah.
We grew up on just Maradona clips and videos at the time. YouTube was just coming out.
Right.
Like, you could find so much on Maradona. But we did get to see him play live in La Partita del Cuore, and there was a few of them, actually. And it's all the retired soccer players and, some current ones, sure, too, versus, singers and actors.
Gigi D'Alessio would play, right?
Right, and Claudio Ranieri ended up playing. Enosna Mazzotti scored a few goals.
Right.
So it's a cool game. It's for charity.
See,
so
while you guys are young, growing up in 1990, watching the World Cup in Italy, watching Italy play in the semifinals against Argentina, going to PKs, and watching Maradona score a goal made me hate him for so many years.
Wow.
I hated him for so many years because he scores this goal and he celebrates like he just won the World Cup in Napoli. The game was in Napoli. So to me, it was I felt disrespected. This guy was made in Napoli, right?
Sure.
And he should have just scored his goal and walked back to the line.
The hands up, kind of like, I'm sorry, I had to do it.
I disagree. I completely disagree.
Well,
listen, he asked the Napoli fans, granted, in today's climate, it wouldn't happen, although Neapolitans are still hated. Mm-hmm. But back then, Napoli was the trash of Italy. No matter where they went, they'd get insulted. They'd get garbage thrown at them. They would get called murderers and thieves and everything else all around Italy. The one person who left everything, he could have had anything he wanted, right? Left all those dreams to come play for Napoli. He became our hero, our savior, and then against Italy, he, while playing in Napoli in front of his people, he's supposed to not celebrate? That's not how it works.
I mean, if the tables were turned, I think it'd be, I don't think I would have celebrated like that. I think I would have, like you said, throw my hands up and then walk back. But the way the celebration was just way over the top.
Because the people of Napoli were there cheering him on to score against Italy.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and see if I can find that video, because if I can remember, I don't think anybody was cheering when he scored that goal.
Are you talking about Italia 90?
Yeah.
Okay, I have that video. I will send it to you.
I don't have a VCR, so.
Wow, it's not on VCR. It's all over YouTube. We are posting that later tonight just to prove my point. You failed as our guest already because you forgot to remind me about that story.
Well, I thought I was going to come up later.
All right. Well, we're going to just come up quick before we segue into all of our soccer talk today. So, back in 2006, we grew up like around soccer, especially growing up in Italy, but we never really played. Like, go figure. I moved to Italy. My parents sent me to swim class. So,
makes sense.
Right. So, we never really ended up playing. But, you know, we would kick around the Super Santos back in the day. I don't know if you remember those balls.
No.
They were, almost bouncy balls, orange, looked like a basketball. But that's what we would play with in the street.
Right, right.
Everybody had a Super Santos. Mm-hmm. So, we would play for fun like that, but never anything competitive. 2006. Now, this was the first time we got to watch a World Cup here in the U.S.
Okay.
The rest of them, we were too young. And in 2002, we were in Italy, so it was guaranteed we were all watching it there. It's almost as if, like, from 2002 to 2006, we had forgotten about soccer. Because I wasn't playing, he wasn't playing,
right.
We weren't watching or following. And then the World Cup happens. I remember the first day of the World Cup when Italy played, I didn't go to school. I had a final that day, and I told my mom, I was like, oh yeah, no, we got the day off from school today, I have to go tomorrow. So I stayed home to make sure I watched the games. He was still going to school because he was little, but it was in the summer, so school had just ended.
Right.
After school ended, we watched every single game. And I'm not talking about just Italy. Like, we watched every game that
all
we possibly could. And it reignited this love of the sport for
sure.
us. Obviously, Italy winning the whole thing was unbelievable and, you know, energized us even more to go out there and start playing again.
Right, right.
So after the World Cup, I enter my sophomore year. He was 9 or 10 years old. So he's playing U10 level at town. I didn't have the skill. I understand the game well tactically, and I picked that up as I got older.
Right.
My skills also came after I graduated high school. Him at 10 years old, though, dude, you want to talk about Maradona. Frankie had the curly hair when he was a kid. Long, curly, okay?
Yep.
And he was chubby. The Frank you see today is not the Frank he
right,
was.
Right, right, right.
He was just chubby. So he looked like a mini Diego Maradona Jr.
That's funny.
And then you saw him on the field with a soccer ball at his feet, and he moved just like Maradona. I think in U10 was probably the only time you continuously played striker, and you put away like 20 goals in your first season. It was absolutely insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of wild.
So that was just a little fun story on Frank growing up playing soccer.
Actually, just real quick, in that U10 season, that was, you know, when I did was after the World Cup, I was watching all the YouTube videos and the Maradona highlights and everything. And that's when I really got fully into the hand of God goal.
Oh,
so
God.
So check the scoreboard.
No, try. So I did. But what happened was I did it a little bit differently. So I got a corner kick in. And I'm running in. I end up going for it. Keeper came out a little. U10 goalie. Why is he gonna coming out? Couldn't
right.
tell you. But he did. And so we like bump into each other, but the ball is stuck right in between my feet and his feet. the way it happened.
Right, right.
So, you know, he doesn't think about getting up and picking it up. We're just kicking at it. The ball's not moving. So what do? So I just put my hand underneath. I scoop it up over his head. And I get up and I start celebrating like I just flipped it up over his head with my foot.
Oh, my God. Did they give you the goal?
They gave me the goal.
Oh, my God.
The goalie starts screaming. He picked it up with his hand. And I'm like, no, I did it. I was running around like this. Oh, my God.
Dude, and that was the thing that made him fun to watch growing up. He was so much smarter on the field than everybody else. And like you said, it was because of all these clips. And that just reminded me, too. So Frankie was a comp player from North Haven. He was always really good. However, he was also the guy that didn't mind volunteering to go down and help the rec teams.
Right.
So one rec game, his team, and they put him on defense on rec because they were like, we can't get you the ball up top, so go play defense. At least we stop other teams from scoring. One game was so winnable, and they were tied 0-0 that I remember, and again, this is coming from the Maradona clips. You remember when Maradona scored against England starting at half field, dribbled through everybody and slotted it in? He finally gets the ball on defense, probably a little bit right outside the 18, and he looks at his coach, and his coach just goes, okay.
He shakes his head.
This kid takes off running, and when I tell you he was dancing with the ball at his feet, that's literally what he was doing. And he gets to the midfield up on the right-hand side, just like Maradona did against England, okay? He stops, he scans the field, and it's game on. Dude, he just started going through everybody like they were cones.
That's
like,
awesome.
He made that look awesome. Silly. Gets to the goal, picks his head up, smiles at the keeper, and just slots it into the back of
the
net.
That's fantastic.
Bro, it was one of the funniest moments.
Now, you're talking about Frankie playing like that. Last season, I coached the kid that reminds me of everything he's talking about. And that kid is actually related to you, Angelo.
Oh, Angelo. Okay.
Now, Angelo is phenomenal. This kid, he's got what it takes to play at a high level. Like,
well, listen, he's the only 9-year-old I currently know that does nothing but watch soccer and play soccer.
Right. So, and not only does he watch, like, he watches City of Oz. So anytime somebody blows in his ear, he's flopping all over the place.
But kid's on the ground more than he's up on his feet. It's hysterical.
When he has the ball, it's unbelievable to watch. So he's actually going to come try out for Premier. And hopefully I could bring him on.
All right, let's go.
And coach him and have him come up with Mateo's team. Because he can be so successful at that level. It's not even funny.
I mean, listen, we always said it. That's the one thing that, unfortunately, we didn't have any connections and we didn't have the money. But if Frankie had gotten the chance to go Premier at the age of 11 or 12, we're talking D1 college player right here. And as you saw, he played
club. Also, too, it back then, it didn't matter if you played Premier so much as it does now.
No.
Back then, it should have been the high school coach getting his ass to work and calling the schools and saying this, that, and the other thing.
No, it doesn't work like that. Because back then, if you played Premier, there were very select Premier teams, if you remember. Mm-hmm. It's not like today, where half of these Premier teams are just pay to play.
How many Premier teams were there when you guys played?
3-4 that were worth playing for. The rest of them
didn't. But how many, like, in total, you think?
Oh, at the time we were growing up, it was what? South Central, CFC, Jingle wasn't around.
No.
Who else? There was a bunch of teams. Like, there was a few teams. Like, there was one team called Extreme. They had a solid 3-year run. They were really good while they were there. But then it just fell apart once those kids, you know, graduated.
When I played, there were only 6 in the whole entire state.
Right.
Six Premier teams.
We were definitely more than 6, but we weren't that many.
I think we just had a few that, you know, came out a couple of years and then died down quick.
Right. The ones that played for were definitely South Central and CFC.
South Central has always been there. They were there when I played, and they're still there now.
But a player like Frankie, had he gotten that Premier experience growing up, it would have developed his game so much more. Instead, and I got nothing against playing in town, but for somebody like him, his skill set almost just stalled because he wasn't being trained the way a player of his level should have been trained.
I peaked early and I kind of got stuck.
Can you imagine?
That's the word I was looking for.
Can you imagine if I was coaching Premier when he was there? I would have done everything I could to scoop him up to bring him in.
Right. You know? Well, we're about 10 years too late.
Right. You're about as tall as some of our 12-year-olds, so maybe I can, if you shave, I can redshirt you.
Get him right on the field.
What's that movie where the guy pulls out the piece of paper and in crayon it's like, I'm 12? like the little league.
But all right.
Anyways.
I think it's time to move on to today's schedule. So what we got for today, we're going to be talking about this past weekend in Serie A. We're going to talk about this past weekend in the EPL. And then we're going to talk about these World Cup playoffs for the European teams that we now have to go through.
And a little bit of the Champions League, because that's going on this week too.
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest. I didn't get a chance to watch the games this weekend. I was able to watch some highlights. So I'm going to chime in with my two cents when I can. But I think I'm going to let our guest over here, / my brother, take over for the games. All right?
Sounds good.
All right, so let's start off with the first game that we obviously are dying to talk about.
Let's talk about Napoli.
Oh, I was going to say Milan-Fiorentina.
We could talk about Milan-Fiorentina.
Well, here I am.
Well, I mean, I'm outnumbered here. I'm the only Milan fan here. I figured you guys were...
here I am, first schedule. I'm looking at the Atalanta-Spezia game thinking we're going in order. So which game are we talking about first?
Listen, I can't say stuff like that anymore. We should go in order, but I'll be like, it's Spezia. Nobody cares about them.
Yeah, and then next nobody thing cares about Empoli either.
And then next thing you know, Spezia is playing my voice in their locker room. Nobody cares about them. Nobody cares about them, and they end up winning games. That's what Empoli did.
No, not even win games. They'll just be Napoli or Milan 2-1.
Exactly. Right, so right. It's like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. We're just going to talk about the teams that we know and we love, and that's it. So
sure.
Let's start with AC Milan, because I actually did watch a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that game, I thought it was good. There were some shortcomings by AC Milan. I think they could have won.
Mm-hmm.
Ibra, I think, threw a wrench in Pioli's game plans going forward, because he looked like Ibrahimovic from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There's no wrench to be thrown there, though.
No, because I think he's got a game plan, meaning the way he makes his substitutions, because Ibrahimovic should only probably play 25 to 30 minutes a game at his age.
Mm-hmm.
And now the way he played on Sunday...
But for his age, that's if you're taking into account a regular player of his age. He's just not regular.
Right. But
this guy doesn't age.
But he does have aches and pains. I was just reading an article. He was talking about he has aches and pains that he wakes up to every day. But until his adrenaline
stops running,
he's not going to stop playing. So
you got to understand. So that Milan game, Ibrahimovic basically scored all three goals that were allowed.
Four, technically.
That's why I said allowed. So that own goal, yes, it was an own goal. But if Ibrahimovic didn't put the ball in play with his head from that cross corner, whatever it was, I don't remember at this point. But if he didn't get it and hit it that violently, it would have never ricocheted off the post, hit the Fiorentina defender and gone in.
Sure.
And when I say he hit the post, he missed the ball going in by maybe a quarter of an inch.
Right.
So the guy's just phenomenal. And his first and second goal... It reminded me of 25-year-old Ibra. You know what? I think 40-year-old Ibra might be better than 25.
I think so.
So, and then he had that one goal that got disallowed, even offsides. Though it wasn't offsides. Yeah.
So,
the guy's a hell of a player. But Fiorentina, who I said very early on were going to surprise people this season, pulled it off. They beat unbeaten Milan.
They should probably be higher in the table than they really are right now.
Fiorentina.
Yeah. They didn't even make the top five. They're not even in the top five.
I still think Fiorentina is going to be one of those teams that finishes top five by the end of the
could
season.
Could be, yeah. I'm pretty sure they're going to finish higher than Juventus. But
I mean, Fiorentina is only at seventh right now with how many points, Frank?
21, and they're tied with Lazio at sixth.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And Roma's only there with, 22 points?
Right.
They're there, Ant. And Fiorentina usually at this point in the season is at... 14th, 13th place, you know?
Yeah, definitely bottom 10 for sure.
So the fact that they're up there, tied for 6th, that's huge, from Fiorentina. I'm curious to see, though, what happens, because he obviously made an impact. Vlahovic, 2 goals, all right? And they're talking about letting this guy go in January.
Saw that. That was kind of wild.
Let him go where?
So Vlahovic wants to stay at Fiorentina.
But why do we want to let him go?
No. He won't re-sign. He's not willing to extend his contract. Oh,
okay.
So since he's not willing to extend his contract, Fiorentina said, we got to get rid of you so we can make some money off of
you. Sure.
Because they don't want Gianluigi Donnarumma.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want that type of situation.
Right. Sure.
But Vlahovic is saying, that's fine. His contract is until 2023. So technically, I have another year. Get rid of me at the end of this Serie A season. I want to stay here and finish this out with Fiorentina. Management is saying no. They want to get rid of him.
I get where management's coming from. This kid's hot. He's on fire. He's 21 years old. You could get top dollar for that transfer fee if you get rid of him in January. I understand that. But where does he go? Who's going to pick him up?
So they're talking about Inter, Juventus, Chelsea, Juventus, Liverpool.
Juventus needs a good striker.
But Chelsea, Liverpool, and there was another team that was associated with him.
Newcastle.
Right.
Yeah. They have new management over there.
New management, now hiring at Newcastle United under new management.
They got that A-Rab money going on now.
Uh-huh. They signed around 70 mil for him.
I think he's going to go for higher than that because what's going to end up happening, if they do get rid of him in January, it's going to end up being a full-out bidding war on Vlahovic.
I could tell you the two teams that you mentioned that will not go for him, it's Liverpool and Chelsea. There's no room for him there.
You don't know that. Warner hasn't been impressing a lot of people. Although he scored today, all right? They're not extremely happy with him. They're happy with him.
Right.
But it could be better. And Vlahovic might solve that issue for Chelsea.
Yeah, but then you have Lukaku's there too.
I think they can coexist. Just like Lukaku and Lautaro coexist. I think they could coexist as well.
I think a team like Liverpool and Chelsea, if they buy Vlahovic, it's more to block some other team from getting
it. But I can tell you who can really use him in January in Serie A, and that's AC Milan. You've got three strikers that are past their prime. Well, Ibra's not past his prime, but you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And what was the kid's name from Brazil? Messias.
No, okay. Messias.
He's 30 years old. This is all new to him.
Yeah.
But you bring in a guy like Vlahovic, he can change things around real fast.
Yeah, but would Fiorentina sell to Milan?
I don't know. That's the whole thing. If Fiorentina's looking to make the money, I think they could.
They'll sell to whoever pays.
Exactly.
Sure.
So.
I still don't think it's going to be AC Milan. I really do think out of all the teams he's going to go to, it's going to be Liverpool. I mean, most of the press has associated him to Liverpool. Then again, the press also lies a lot. We learned that all this offseason.
Yes, we
did.
Who's
going here? Who's going there? Next thing you know, no one goes anywhere.
Right.
So I'm still waiting for Emerson to leave Chelsea and come to Napoli.
Right.
Just so everybody's aware. But no, I mean, look, if he does go anywhere in Serie A, it might end up being Juventus just because they are the most striker-needy team, in my opinion, right now, that could compete for something down the road.
And they also have the money to pay for him.
Actually, financially, they're not doing so well. So they don't have the money to pay for him. I'd love to see him at Napoli, but we know that sure as hell ain't going to happen. Although, with Osimhen out 3 months now.
Is it three?
He's out 3 months.
It's not out 3 months. I just saw today that Spalletti said he's looking for the AC Milan game. He'll be back.
I heard a month as soon as he got injured.
Listen, my news source said 3 months today.
I don't know.
Who's your news source, son?
that would be il colmo.
What happens with these orbital injuries, they'll have the surgery.
Yeah.
It'll heal pretty fast. He's young, he's healthy. Sure. And they're going to give him a face mask to wear that he'll play with.
Okay.
So.
Hey, listen, fingers crossed if that's the case. All I saw was 1 month at the worst. So.
All I know is that in the beginning of the season, I had told your brother that Napoli was going to win the Scudetto because Osimhen and Insigne were going to go off this season. And Osimhen has gone off.
I was going to say, you were right halfway there.
So I just checked, by the way. IFTV posted about it too. The source is via Napoli. But breaking news, Osimhen has undergone a cheekbone operation and is expected to be out of action for 3 months.
Well, I would tell you the same thing too, so Milan prepares for something else.
Dude, but Milan is way closer than 3 months away. It might even be less than a month away. I think
Milan's the 19th, December 19th.
Could this also be a thing where they don't want him to go to AFCON? You know what I mean? Like, he went last year. We ended up losing him for even more time. Maybe not.
Could be.
You know, leaking this little statement here to say, oh, don't expect him over there.
Yeah.
Because.
And then next thing you know, he returns early. I mean, that would be the most Neapolitan thing. Listen, Osimhen would be more Napolitana di Napolitan if he ended up doing that.
Can you imagine?
But I don't think that's the case. I really do think he got hurt. I hope he recovers quickly. We obviously need him. We're not going to be the same team without him.
Right.
So. But all right. AC Milan, Fiorentina. Hats off to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
That was a great game to watch.
It was a good game.
AC Milan should have at least tied it, though. A lot of defensive errors that game.
Yes.
All right. Moving on. Napoli-Inter.
That game, I thought was disappointing. I think I thought Inter was all over Napoli from the get-go. They just outplayed them. Sure. You know, they didn't look like the normal Napoli team that I'm used to watching every week with Matteo. They just didn't look like themselves.
Something was off.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't pinpoint it, but something was off.
I agree.
Because I don't think Inter is better than Napoli.
No, not this far.
I think when Napoli's playing the way they're supposed to be playing, I'd say equal, if not better.
Okay.
Here's the problem. Inter is a complete team, in my opinion. Even with the loss of Lukaku, they're not struggling up top. Zeko plucked, you know, went into the spot that Lukaku left and said, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I mean,
right?
Zeko's got 7 goals already.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. He's new on the team, new coach, new play style. These guys have been here together for at least a year or two. And Zeko goes, I got this. I'm helping you guys out. He's got more goals than Martinez right now, than Lautaro. So I still think they're the most complete team in Serie A. And what scares me is with Napoli and AC Milan dropping points, this puts Inter only 4 points behind them. And that's what makes the rest of the season dangerous, because Napoli and AC Milan will fail. It's inevitable. They don't have the teams to be able to compete. Well, go ahead. What are you thinking?
I don't agree with him.
The first thing that came to my mind was, though, Napoli and Milan were the only two leagues in all of the European divisions to not have lost a game yet. And I think this just removed the pressure, and they're in a situation where, like we said, 4 points. So Inter wins another one with both of them losing one more. The gap's closed, but they still maintain 1-2. So not that you want to lose, but that imagine if Napoli or Milan had stayed unbeaten. Now they're the only unbeaten team in all 5 Europe's leagues. You know, that's big. That's a lot of pressure every other week.
It's a lot of pressure, but I also think that the way Spalletti and Pioli coach, this isn't about we need to remain undefeated. This is about attacking the game ahead of us and playing to win. That's the way these guys coach. They're not thinking about all the other stuff. When Spalletti came into Napoli, all right, this was released in an article last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. Spalletti said to the locker room, he goes, I don't understand what's going on here. He goes, you guys have had the team to win from 3 to 4 years ago. But for whatever reason, you don't.
Mm.
He goes, I'm not here to change your play style. I'm not here to tell you to do anything different. He goes, I'm here to add that last piece to finally get you to win. So when I read something like that, it tells me that Spalletti isn't here to revolutionize Napoli. He understands what Napoli has. And he's adding his little, you know, 2 cents here and there to help him become better. And we've already seen that this year with the free kicks. Some of the free kicks that Napoli has had are unbelievable.
Right, right. Plays. Now, the problem's going to come next week. Napoli's playing Lazio.
Mm.
Okay. Milan is playing Sassuolo. Inter's playing Venezia.
Eh.
So if Napoli's going to be the team that I think they are, they'll beat Lazio and keep everybody trailing behind them.
See, and this is a trap game for Napoli. I'll tell you why. Because they just lost Osimhen, okay? To play with Petagna up top or to play with Mertens up top, they have to change the way that they usually play. They can no longer play those long vertical balls to Osimhen into space, because you play one of those balls to Osimhen, you know he's going to go get it, okay? Sure. Mertens and Petagna aren't capable of that. I actually see a loss coming against Lazio before they get back into rhythm of winning games.
They can't have a loss. They need to win.
Well, then if they don't want
a
loss...
A draw is fine.
If they don't want to lose, Insigne better pick his game up.
But also, I was going to say, you see how the play style changed when Osimhen had to come out and Petagna did go in? So we were getting, like, with Lozano on the side, you put Napolitano, we can get those crosses in, no issue. So I don't know if Petagna being our attacker is really going to make us not attack as much.
He's going to attack. He's also the muscle up there too. So those crosses, he can handle.
Hey, he's going to body somebody off the ball.
But the problem is, it's not going to be that quick build-up play that we're used to seeing. What's going to end up happening now is that our midfield has to control more, which I think they can, but it's not going to happen overnight. It takes a game or two to adjust to that way.
Actually, no, because when Osimhen was out from suspension, they played the way you're saying, minus Mertens because we still had an injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they won with Petagna up top.
Yeah, but that was against Genoa, I believe. And we only won 2-1.
But still, they won. A win's a win.
I get that, but you're looking at lower table teams. We can't forget that Lazio is, one, a competitive team. Two, coached by Sarri, who you know is going to come out for blood against Napoli. Not because he hates Napoli or he hates those guys, but he didn't end off well with De Laurentiis. And then on top of it, they have Immobile.
They do. They
and Immobile leads the league right now in goals scored. He has 10.
He does. But here's the other thing, too, that we're completely not even talking about, is Napoli's defense is one of the best in the league. They've only let 7 goals go in all season long.
Which is fine and dandy, until you see what Inter did to them.
Yeah, but you know, then same thing with Milan, though, in that situation. Right? They only let 5 in all season, and then they let 4 from Fiorentina. So,
What do you mean? It's Milan's got 15 goals put in this season.
Oh, I didn't realize they were that high.
Yeah, AC Milan has 15 goals scored against them.
Okay.
And Lazio's got 21. 25-4, 21 against. So, you know, the odds are against Lazio, I believe, if you're going to play the number game.
Sure.
Listen, our goal for goal against ratio is good. I'm not denying that. But I don't know. You know I always doubt Napoli. For me, it's hard to see them excel, especially when we're hit by something bad happening to us. So I guess we'll have to see. We'll have to come back next weekend.
All right. Well, anyways, before our break, a little feel-good story. Did you see the Jose Mourinho had to pay up this weekend?
Oh, I did. What was that about? I saw something like that.
So I think it's Guyan.
Gian.
Yeah. I guess he told him, hey, you score a goal or two, and I'll buy you those $800
boots
that you want. He scored two.
Wow. They end up paying up?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, for Mourinho to make a bet like that and end up winning, you know, even though they beat Genoa, Genoa has proven that against some of the bigger teams, they're there to compete. I don't know why. It's like they turn a switch, but hey. I'm happy to see it. And, you know, low-key, I'm rooting for Roma this season. I like Mourinho. I really do.
I do, too.
And I like the team that they're building over there. Right. So, hey, happy to see it.
And then Venezia won. We got to talk about Venezia a little bit just because, you know, Buzio's there.
Well, they're America's most favorite Italian team.
Right. You know, and that kid's playing phenomenal. 19 years old, playing in Serie A. And he's
I think he got another assist this past weekend.
Yeah, he did. He got another assist. So
listen, Buzio's lights out right now, and I doubted him when we talked about him over the summer.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that's going out, balling,
and
in Venezia.
I got to give credit's due because I never knew who he was until Josh told me to watch out for this kid.
Mm.
Josh Improta. Yeah. He said, watch out for this kid. He's going to be really good. And
listen, you know, but he didn't impress me over the summer, but what he's doing in Italy now after he got acclimated, he looks good.
He looks good.
And he's a part of the U.S. men's national team, so the future's promising. Right. I'm happy to see it.
Definitely love to see that.
Let's just recap the scores real quick before we go on to our break and come back with the EPL. So, this past weekend, we had Atalanta Spezia. Final score was 5-2. Lazio versus Juventus, 2-0 Juventus. Fiorentina Milan, 4-3 for Fiorentina. Sassuolo Cagliari, 2-2. Okay. Hard-fought game. And speaking of Cagliari, we're going to have to mention a little bit about their striker later on this episode.
We will when we talk
about the Italian national team.
World Cup, yep.
Bologna-Venezia, 1-0 for Venezia. Salernitana-Sampdoria, 2-0 for Sampdoria. Inter-Napoli, 3-2 Inter. Genoa-Roma, 2-0 Roma. Hellas Verona-Empoli, 2-1 for Hellas Verona. Torino-Udinese, 2-1 for Torino. It's good to see Torino finally getting those wins again. All right, Anant, take us to a quick little anchor break.
All right, and we're back.
You, that's my line.
Don't get comfortable yet, all right?
You're bad. Just a guest. That's mine.
Don't my get bad. Comfortable yet. Don't get comfortable.
My fault.
Anyways, so about the EPL, you watch any games?
So I went to, what's that sandwich shop in Hamden called?
Ray and Mike's?
Subway?
Subway, get out of here. I went to Ray and Mike's, and they were showing the Brighton game.
Of all the games.
Of all the games. So I ended up watching about 20 minutes of the Brighton game this past weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was not exciting.
No, not at all. But either way, I was kind of pumped that I knew it was Brighton.
Oh, well, that's good.
So,
I think,
who were they playing? Aston Villa? I think they were playing Aston Villa.
They were.
Yeah, so I watched about 20 minutes of that while ordering my sub.
Well,
I want Ray and Mike's.
I had to watch the Arsenal-Liverpool game. Just okay. Because I have a dog in the fight, I said Arsenal's going to win the Premier League, and they've been
you know, they've been killing it. They've been doing well. Not the whole year, but they once the other pieces started coming back. Liverpool is a team that your brother always says we don't talk enough about because they're a dark horse team. Mm. But
they're not a dark horse.
Nobody talks about.
They're a favorite. Just we forget about them because they've been so consistently good.
But it's also we're not the only ones that don't talk about them. Nobody talks about them. I never hear anybody going out of their way to talk about Liverpool. They're so good. They just they shut Arsenal down. Arsenal played well for about 30 minutes, and then after that, that was it. 4-0.
Woo! Yeah, I didn't realize it was like that. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mo Salah.
And he scored all four?
No, but one of his goals was a golazo.
Wow.
Dude, he's good. There's no denying.
He's been good. I mean.
But this is what I tell Ant all the time. And, you know, what we say to our listeners. It's like, we forget that they're just 2 or 3 years removed from a Champions League final win. Like,
yeah,
they're that good. And they had that, they went to the other final. Who was it against? Real Madrid? Barcelona?
Over the summer.
No, it was before they won it.
Oh, okay.
They went to another Champions League final. And the only reason they lost that game is because of their keeper.
Yeah, I do remember that game.
Which they fixed right after that season and got Alisson. I think Alisson went to Liverpool, was it 16, 17? One of those years. Mm-hmm. So, dude, Liverpool's just good. And honestly, if Chelsea doesn't win the league, Liverpool will.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm still sticking with Arsenal.
I don't really know who I'd say at the moment, but I wouldn't be shocked if Liverpool, you know, ended up being the winners. So and plus Salah's been what, a top 10 Ballon d'Or nominee for what, 5 years now?
5 years.
Right?
To think that this guy once played for Fiorentina. And Roma. He played at Roma too, I forgot about that.
A brief stint, right? Was it 1 year, one season?
With Roma, it was 1 or 2 years.
Wow.
And they sold him for peanuts. Yeah. Literally nothing. Liverpool got him for.
That's usually how it works. The Serie A, whoever's scouting in Serie A, they should be fired.
No. The guy that's scouting is doing a good job. It's the guy that's allowing these players to leave.
That's right, right.
Yeah, he's expecting results within the first 6 months.
General manager.
Yeah, the general manager should be
fired. Yeah. I know three guys that can go in. We could probably bring a championship home to Empoli. If the three of us were over there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I think we can do it.
See, Ant loves saying we could bring the talent over there. If we ended up managing Empoli, this is what would happen. Anthony would go down to the locker room, grab a spare jersey, walk up onto the field, pull his hamstring 2 seconds in, end of the season.
That's it.
Yeah, but at least he'd make history for being, the oldest player.
Exactly.
Serie A game.
Dude, Ibrahimovic won't let him take that title. Anthony steps on the field. Ibrahimovic will go, I have to play 3 more damn years.
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
The other one that happened this weekend was the Man U game. Man U lost to Watford.
I did see that.
Yeah.
Tough.
Tough. 4-1 loss.
Not tough. This is what happens when you go out and you have a team that's competing and they're good and everybody's getting along well with the new coach. And then you go and sign Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah. What the hell did you think was going to happen? Right. Ant's got an interesting... Hold on. Let's hear your thoughts first. Go ahead.
Well, all right. Some of my thoughts is... I've just found... I feel like in sports in general, right? There's always a storyline. And for this, it really was the coming home of...
Home. He's Portuguese. Go back to Portugal if you want to go home. You don't go to Manchester United when they have a good thing going.
Yeah, but Man U is where his career really started.
Yeah, I get it.
You know what I mean? So now he's going to go and end it where it all started. Unless the MLS offers him a boatload of money and he's one of those guys... I mean, he's gonna retire at United.
But my problem is they were doing so well. And they still are doing well. There's nothing against them, you know? It's just...
I mean, doing well in eighth place is not doing well at all, just so you know.
I mean...
Losing 5 games in a row is not doing well at all.
It could be worse. They could have been at the bottom of the table.
They could have been, but only one team that I know was at the bottom of the table and now is in fifth place, and that's Arsenal.
All right. Let's not get ahead of ourselves but by too much. They're in fifth by 3 points.
Let me tell you what I think happened. I think he went there, maybe had a disagreement, didn't like something, takes the team out to dinner, gives them all gifts, says, we need to get rid of him.
By get rid of him, you mean get rid of Ole?
Get rid of Ole. We're going to lose a few games.
So?
Yeah, why not? He's got that kind of pull within the team.
He does have that pull. Yeah, I agree.
Then he goes out, and I quote, Ronaldo says, two nights ago, he's been my striker when I first came to Old Trafford.
He's been my coach since I came back to Man U. But most of all, Ole is an outstanding human being. I wish him the best in whatever his life has reserved for him. Good luck, my friend. You deserve it. You deserve what? Being fired or good things coming your way? That kind of, you know, threw me off a little bit. I kind of read it in between the lines here.
Okay.
So you're saying Ronaldo took a subtle
jab
at Ole.
Which is possible. I mean, if you ever listen to his interviews and stuff, he, you know.
Now you see who they're looking to bring in, right?
No. Who's that?
Who's coming in?
Pochettino from PSG. But why would he leave PSG to go coach Man U? Makes no sense. He already coached in the EPL.
There's one word. Money.
Oh, I was thinking too.
Dude, you're coaching Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe to go to Man U to coach Fred? No thanks.
When was the last time PSG won a Champions League?
That's what I was going to... Those are my two words. Champions League. It doesn't matter how much talent you have over there. PSG's just cursed.
I saw the funniest meme today. It was Messi, Neymar, and Mbappe on the field.
I literally just said this.
Look, you just said that?
I literally just said it.
You saw it?
I literally just said he would leave PSG coaching Neymar, Messi, and Mbappe to go over to Man United and coach Fred.
But the picture was the three of them laughing when saying that.
Okay. The context.
Yeah, there's yeah.
Come on, Harry.
Right. I'm just never mind. Can't say that word on air. I'm just the bad guy here.
That's right. You are the bad guy.
All right, listen. If it truly is for Champions League purposes, you know, Man U's top of their group right now, as are all the EPL teams. Right, have their respective groups. So, and realistically, Man U has a better history than PSG does for Champions League. Maybe not the last 3 or 4 years, but overall. Right. So, you know, if that's his goal, like he could care less about the money and the caliber of players and he just wants to win that title, then he has a better shot with Man U.
That's right.
And a Ronaldo, realistically, instead of the other three. You can have five really, you know, top tier players, but if they don't mesh well together on the field,
it's 100%.
You know, there's no chem.
I just know this. Ronaldo went to Juventus. Allegri left. They bring in Sarri. Sarri left. They bring in Pirlo. Pirlo left. Seems to me that the issue is Ronaldo. Okay? Because once Ronaldo left, yes, Juve suffered, but they're starting to form an identity again. Okay? Coaches are allowed to coach when he's not there. So now that he's back at Man U, we saw what happened with Ole. Before Ronaldo went, let's not forget that they were lighting the EPL up, okay, early on in the season, and they were right there in first and second place, okay? Ronaldo comes back. Next thing you know, Man United isn't playing the way they were playing the first five games of the season. Ole, all of a sudden, is a terrible coach. Why is that?
If my memory serves correctly, I think they've only won one game since he's come back.
We'll have to fact check that one. You could be right. I'm not sure, but I do know that they were not playing as bad before he got there. Pogba was an assist machine.
Yeah.
Okay? Other Portuguese
Bruno
guy.
Bruno Fernandes,
okay? Was on fire. Also, wasn't it just recently, like, Bruno Fernandes was the PK taker for Man United, before Ronaldo got there. And then Ronaldo started taking the PKs and he missed one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't talk about missing PKs.
I mean, we're talking about the EPL. We could bring Jorginho up.
We can. What happened? This guy can't make a PK to save his life. The keeper could step out of the goal and it'll miss.
It'll miss.
Yeah, but you know what? That's just for Italy because Chelsea today against Juventus, 4-0, right? And Jorginho played lights out. Chelsea is in first place in the EPL currently, and they got a good point difference going ahead. They're 7 points ahead of Manchester City right now. So, seems to me like the issue with Jorginho is more with Italy than with him.
Yeah, but again, it's just
three,
a PK.
3 points
ahead. 2 points?
3 points? Okay, my bad.
He still plays lights out for Italy. It's just a PK.
It's just a PK.
You know, issue right now.
But we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
But listen. You know, I think the issue is Ronaldo. It's not anybody else. You know, he comes there. He's got to be the man. He's got to be the one that everybody goes through. He's got the most pull out of any of the players on that pitch. So, you know, when you have a superstar prima donna that wants to have his say, what happens to the coach? Either he leaves on his own terms or he's forced to leave.
Bye-bye, see you later.
You know? See, but like you said, you know, Ronaldo got all these players together and they went out to eat. He bought them gifts and, you know, we got to get this guy fired.
Yeah.
If I were the rest of the team, I would have literally gotten everybody together except Ronaldo and said, we got to get this guy to leave.
For sure.
That's what but I would have done.
In their minds, okay, you got maybe the number one, maybe the number two greatest player of all time on your team. You want to take a chance with this guy, right? You might want to put up with his antics for a little bit to see what happens.
Sure.
They can win the Champions League with them. They're outstanding in the Champions League. So, you know.
Well, here's what I want to mention, too. Do you think that there's, like, when I've seen teams play the Ronaldo way, I mean, he's put teams on his back, right?
Yeah.
Two down 2-0, ends up winning 3-2 Ronaldo.
Well, I've been looking at Portugal. So, Portugal's a perfect example of that. He literally puts Portugal on his back.
Sure. But and Portugal, though, will play through Ronaldo. So now, were there issues at Juve and now Man U where they just don't want to play through him?
What I mean? The difference is they don't need to play through him at Juventus and at Manchester United. Where in Portugal, they have no choice but to play through him. There's no one there that comes anywhere near his talent level for Portugal, right?
And I think hit the nail on the head. So even when he was at Juventus, okay, you could see that many of the times they were forcing the ball to his side, which it didn't need to go there. And when you have a team of high caliber players, yeah, they're not Cristiano Ronaldo, but the frustration starts to settle in because you see what's happening and you just can't do what you're supposed to. I mean, look at Dybala. Granted, Dybala had some injuries, went through COVID and everything else, but he ends up coming back for Juve this season, and he's playing pretty damn well. He couldn't do that when Ronaldo was there because play didn't go through Dybala and went through Ronaldo. We're seeing the same thing happen at Manchester United. Play can no longer go through Pogba, through Bruno Fernandes.
Sure.
It has to go through Ronaldo, and right. It's killing them. At Real Madrid, it could go through Ronaldo for one reason only. Because at the time, Ronaldo was younger.
Right.
Okay? Not saying he's not an incredible athlete now, but he was obviously better then. And his Real Madrid squad was so incredibly talented that he didn't feel like he had to do it all on his own. But when he had to put that Real Madrid team on his back, he did.
He did. He did. Numerous times.
He didn't feel like that at Juve. He doesn't feel like that at Manchester United. And that's the issue. In his head, he feels like he's not surrounded by high-caliber players. But the players surrounding him feel like they are high-caliber players. And we're starting to see all these issues. And as a coach, how do you fix that? You can't bench Ronaldo. You just can't.
And it's too late in his career to try to adjust the way he thinks.
Yeah, you can't do that either.
So you got to tippy-toe around him. Maybe, just throwing this out there, instead of bringing in another coach, make him a player coach.
Yeah, okay. At Manchester United, that'll never
happen. Why not?
Manchester United, that'll never happen. They're going to find a replacement coach, but it's going to be somebody that Ronaldo
wants. I personally think it would work out. He's unbelievable. I think he could do it. I think he could be player coach.
Ronaldo already has too much power. Then you'd be giving him all the power. It'd be like making a deal with the devil. You'd never make a deal with
See what happens.
I don't agree with it.
It would be interesting to see.
To see it as an experiment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Give him two games.
Give him a month.
1 month.
All right, four guys, games. Ronaldo, player coach, you know what happens when that finally does go through? You shut off the PlayStation and we go.
That's right.
Bottom line.
Anyways, you want to go through the scores so we can move on to the World Cup?
Yeah. I feel bad. We always go talk about the EPL and then we end up back to Italy somehow. But so this past weekend in the EPL, we got Leicester City, Chelsea. Chelsea demolished them 3-0. Aston Villa and Brighton, 2-0 Aston Villa. Burnley, Crystal Palace, 3-3. Yo, that Crystal Palace, they knock around in some games.
They do in some games.
When they want, exactly. But the little bit I've seen of them this season, I kind of like them. I got a soft spot for them in my heart. Newcastle United and Brentford, 3-3. Norwich City and Southampton, 2-1 for Norwich City. We got Watford and Manchester United that we were talking about, 4-1 for Watford. That was just ugly. We got the Wolves versus West Ham United, 1-0 for the Wolves. And now, we talked about this early on, but West Ham United, oh, they're a team that's going to fall down the table. Nope, they're there. They're in fourth place with 23 points, okay?
Two losses in a row, though, so we'll see what happens in the next game.
But the fact that at this point in the season, they're still hanging around at fourth, West Ham has convinced me that they can do something. They will not win, but they can hang around and maybe make a Champions League appearance next season.
Not even with the Wolves. I didn't expect them to be at sixth.
Yeah, no. I mean, listen, the Wolves are another one. But the Wolves always had talent. It's just something wasn't clicking there. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like they're doing well. Their first mistake was hiring Mazzarri years ago. Anyway, Liverpool-Arsenal, we talked about that one. 4-0 for Liverpool. Just, dude, Arsenal, if they want to be great, they have to learn how to beat the big teams.
And they will. The second time around, mark my words.
Okay, we shall see. Manchester City continuing on a tear. Thank you for correcting me before. They are only 3 points behind Chelsea. They won 3-0. And then look who's in the win column.
Yes. Why?
Tottenham Hotspur versus Leeds.
Why is that?
Because they played a crappy team.
What else?
What are you insinuating?
Conte.
That's what Conte at Tottenham. The Conte effect.
So we'll see what happens. Keep your eye out for him. Antonio said it's going to take till mid-January. I agreed with him before they really pick up on his tactics. We'll see what happens.
Listen, Tottenham right now is in seventh place with 19 points. If the Conte effect, which it seems to only happen in the EPL for him now, I don't know why. Actually, he did win with Inter last season. But if the Conte effect takes place the way it's supposed to, they should be a top four team by season's end.
Yeah, we'll see.
And they have the players to do it.
And they even have potential to be top four before the winter ends.
Yeah, I mean, they're close. They're 19 points, and the fourth place team has 23. So you're looking at a 4-point difference.
Sure.
We have a tough task ahead of us. Let's see if we can wrap this thing up in 7 minutes with World Cup.
Oh, we can make that real
easy. I highly doubt it, but we will try our hardest.
We can make that real easy. So, with the World Cup. Basically, what we were talking about last week, Italy has to go into a playoff now.
Yep.
Okay. So the way that the playoffs will work is that there is a semifinal.
Well, you have two pots. You have one pot that has Italy, Portugal, Russia, Scotland, Sweden, and Wales. The second pot has Austria, Czech Republic, North Macedonia, Poland, Turkey, and Ukraine. I'm okay with them being in the pot with Portugal and Russia.
Yeah. No,
I'm okay.
I like that.
The only thing that bothers me, and I don't think FIFA will let this happen, like you were saying last week. I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but all of a sudden I'm starting to. I don't think Italy and Portugal will somehow be put
against each other
for the finals. Correct. I just don't see it happening. Those two teams have to go on to the World Cup, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And the best part about it is our first game doesn't have to be against Sweden.
It can be against Sweden. They don't have Ibrahimovic for the first game.
But because of we're in the same pot.
Right. So if you're in the same pot, I believe.
It's a team from pot one versus a team from pot two.
Pot two, right,
so,
right.
Our first game can't be against Sweden, which I'm still having nightmares from that game in 2018. 2017 that we didn't qualify for the World Cup.
For the
2018 World Cup, yeah. Correct. So, I mean, they're going to have to draft from these pots.
Which is 1 week from today.
Right.
Okay.
I'm hoping.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. 1 week from today is the Ballon d'Or. The draft is the 26th.
Of November,
yep.
Okay.
Here's what I'm hoping for. That in our pot, we end up getting paired with Scotland. Okay? And then in pot two, the two teams that make it for our path will be Austria and Ukraine. I'll be happy with that.
I would rather see Poland and North Macedonia.
See, I fear Poland. But I respect that. What about you, Frank? Who are you thinking?
Here's the thing. Each player, I feel like, has somebody. Definitely stay away from Czech Republic.
We don't want them.
You know, freaking, what's his name? Is Pandev still playing on North Macedonia?
Because, of course he is. Yeah, he's 72 years old.
And he's still scoring, so.
So I definitely don't want him.
And I also don't want North Macedonia because I don't want Italy playing against Elmas. I low-key want to see Elmas play in a World Cup.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, Turkey and Austria. Turkey, Austria, Ukraine. I'm okay with any of those three. And then, of course, you want Scotland from
Poland. Right. Like, but, I don't want Sweden. I don't want Wales, all right? Like, Gareth Bale could still ball out if we end up playing them. You definitely don't want Portugal because they're probably the other strongest team in there besides Italy. And then Russia is just that team that is so it's stupid. Like, remember 2018?
They can go off and score 7 goals or get 7 goals scored on you.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. It all depends on the steroids they did that
quickly. Gun to your head, they make it to the World Cup or not make it to the World Cup?
They'll make it.
What do you think?
They'll make it.
I agree. Real quick, United States men's national team. They got 4 more games left.
Yep.
I believe they're going to make it. What do you think?
I think USA's making it.
They're what, second to Canada and Mexico? Third?
Yeah, second. Second place.
They'll make it.
How do you feel about them?
All in all?
Yeah.
Because
they know how we feel about them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they can make it to the semifinals of the World Cup.
Oh, see, I think that's pushing it a little bit. I think they're young, and I think that they'll make it out of the groups, but I think they lose the first round of...
You think they lose impossible. The round of 16?
No
so.
Way.
So you got round of 16, I got quarters, you got semis.
Semis, yeah.
All right.
Real quick, just to refresh, last game, starting lineup, and the guys that came in off the bench, only 2 players played in the MLS. The other players play in Europe on all top-level teams. So they're getting the experience they need to compete against these guys.
I agree.
So that's why I think they can make it far and they can make some heads turn.
All right, so we got 3 minutes left. We got to bring this up. Did you guys hear about Joao Pedro?
That's right.
From Cagliari, possibly getting called up to the Italian national team?
He's an Italian citizen now. So.
Yeah, because he married an Italian, I believe.
Yeah.
So his wife gave him citizenship. He's never played for Brazil. The guy's good. He's 29.
He's a hell of a striker. And guess who needs a striker?
Italy needs a striker.
We do.
That's right. So he could be there for March 29th. I'd like to see him and Immobile work together. I think that would be a dangerous combination.
Because Joao Pedro's not a number 9, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Joao Pedro's a 9.
So then you'd play, what, 4-4-2, both of them up top?
Yeah.
You could. Why not? It's better than Belotti.
Yeah, okay.
The 4-3-3, listen, as much as we love Immobile, he doesn't produce for the Italian national team. So I would love to see Pedro up there with Insigne and Chiesa and Bernardeschi, and they need to call up Politano.
I was literally going to say that. Yeah, they got to bring Politano.
They got to call up Politano.
They got him.
So imagine that on the outsides with Pedro in the middle. I'd love to see it. I think it could be good.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I mean, when would we find out if he's going to get called or not?
Obviously, it's all Mancini's decision.
I bet you in the next 20 days.
Okay.
Well, maybe for a friendly, but those games, the playoff games, remember, are in March.
Right.
So we won't really know if he makes it until then.
He's got to get called up for a friendly. He's got to perform in that friendly.
Yes.
And then we'll know.
I just want him. I would love to know if he wants to play for Italy because he's just always wanted to. You know, or like, they're like, he didn't want to play for Brazil.
Right, right.
Or because Brazil never called him and now he has the option to.
I think it's this. Because he is Brazilian, right? He's become an Italian citizen basically overnight. So I think his mentality is, they never called me up and I deserve to be called up, Brazil.
Yeah.
I want to play for the Italian national team so I could prove to Brazil why they messed up.
Mm.
And I'm going to win a World Cup with Italy.
Then I'll take that.
And then I just want to point out, the last time this happened, remember, Camoranesi. Argentina wouldn't call him up. And he goes, okay, I'm going to play for Italy.
No.
And who do you win a World Cup with? And who hasn't won a World Cup yet? Thank you.
Now, off the top of my head, if he gets called up and he's starting with Emerson, Jorginho, who else? There's a third Brazilian that plays.
Wasn't it Toloi?
No, Toloi's not Brazilian. I cannot remember off the top of my head now because
it's not coming to me either. But
no. Anyways, there could be 4 Brazilians playing at the same time on the Italian national team.
Let's go.
And we're going to leave that for food for thought for people.
That's right.
Are you with getting these Brazilians to come play for us when Brazil doesn't call them?
I am. I mean, listen, if they...
I said leave it food for thought
for
people.
We're done.
All right, Sava. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you, Frankie, for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Maybe we could have you on some future episodes.
Absolutely.
And everybody, definitely stay tuned for the link to our YouTube channel. We're going to be posting it on the Instagram, so that way you can listen to it on YouTube. And subscribe so you can check out all the videos that follow.
Also, if you guys want to hear Frankie some more, you can listen to him on the Kujin podcast.
Thanks, yeah.
Later, everyone.
Bye, guys.
See ya.